Reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed.
Welcome to Talking Giants, presented by DraftKings. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Penick. And we got ourselves a mailbag. We're going to clean up the Cowboys game, answer some of your mailbag questions. Got a lot. You know, we've been getting more than usual, and we've been pairing questions together and tripling questions together. We had like 70 plus replies, and now it's like I'm a little sad because it's like the show is getting big, but now it's like we can't even come close to answering all the mailbag questions than we used to. I mean, this time last year, we would answer every single mailbag question, even if it was like a question about the Nets or the Knicks.
Yeah, Bobby, hi, how are you? The Giants are really, really good. We have a winning record. Everything is going exactly like we planned and we expected. No, but it's really cool that it's cool, but it's also not cool because, like Bobby said, we can't answer all the mailbag questions. But it's cool that we are getting to a point and we get enough engagement where it's just like, yeah, you know, we kind of have to, you know, trim it down to the cream of the crop in terms of questions. So make sure that you leave a good question. But also thank you for interacting with us enough that we have to get to this point. So in a way, this is a thank you, and it's because of you. It's all your fault. Whoever you are, it's your fault that you left a question.
Yeah, I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed at the listeners for this. Again, it was tough. But, you know, it's just the way it is. So we're going to get into our mailbag. You know, the injury stuff, that'll come up in the mailbag, and, you know, that's more talking about the preview. But we're essentially getting ready for a week with Mike Glennon and Devontae Booker. It's really going to look like that first preseason game, you know, where none of the wide receivers played. It's going to be the starting O-line with Mike Glennon, Devontae Booker, and Darius Slayton at wide receiver.
Yeah, Mike Glennon had that quote after the game where it was like, I was looking around it was almost like that first preseason game where, you know, they were asking, was it different with starting offense? He's like, no, you know, I knew some of the guys. They were familiar.
Yeah, it's like all we need is to bring David Sills back, and we are full preseason mode. And speaking of people that we bring back, we got a couple of new people part of the community. We got Steve Sexton. He's always on that phone, Sexton.
Yep.
Nick Daughtry. He's related to Chris Daughtry.
And Rich Sexton, right? He's related to
Steven Sexton.
Steven Sexton is related to, I believe it was it Richie Sexton of the Seattle Mariners, that tall ass first baseman in like the 2000s? Do you remember that is? No, you don't know who that is?
Nope.
Baseball player.
Matthew Perkaville. He's a big fan of Percocets.
Oh.
Over in the UK. And then the last one, I'm going to say this very carefully because I feel like they're trying to trip us up. Ever since Giant Insider got caught with the loose asshole.
Sure.
His first name is Nick, and his last name is Hearn.
Do you want to say that slowly?
First name Nick, last name Hearn.
I could say
it quickly in your head without saying it.
No, I could see where you got tripped up on it.
Maybe it's a real person, real name, but I you know what? I'm not taking that chance. I'm not old enough. I'm not old and dumb enough to get got
Our listeners are smart enough to leave 70 mailbag questions. They're smart enough to know our dislike for Giant Insider, and they're smart enough to know how they can get us going by trying to trip us up.
Who are all these people that are trying to get us canceled, Justin?
They went to patreon.com/talkinggiants. $2 a month.
Be one part away of our from Patreon 300.
Community. Yes, we are one away from 300. That'll be pretty cool. We started it around a year ago, you know, maybe probably think 13 months at this point. So to get 300 people is really, really cool. It's a really, really good community. You get to hang out with a lot of people that hang out during the show and y'all chat with each other. Bobby sends you some magnets. Have an opportunity to win some shirts. Patreon.com/TalkingGiants.
All right. Anything you want to hit on before we get into the mailbag?
How are you feeling about this team?
I'm feeling just like in general. It's time to get into Steve from Blue's Clues.
Oh, no.
Mail time. Mail time.
The mail's here. Come on. Bye, guys.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
All right. Thanks, Steve from Blue's Clues. Justin. Let's get into the mail.
I asked that question because we don't really have that question in here. And I feel like this is such a unique time to be a Giant fan, but if you don't want to talk about it, then we don't need to talk about it.
We're almost 5 minutes in. It's time to get the show rolling.
It was a good question. Because, whatever.
I mean, no one feels good. That's it. I mean, it's not like we're 2-3 and just won 2 games in a row. We all feel bad, Justin. Thank you for making me conscious of feeling bad.
I just feel empty, though. Like, it empty. Of
not making
nothing.
It any better.
Sorry. This is therapy. We need to talk about our feelings.
Monday is therapy. Wednesday's analysis.
Oh,
Friday
God.
Is pump-ups. Someone did that meme for us.
Renato Parente at Parente 9. Who's to blame for Nate Solder being at right tackle and not Matt Parrott is a Jason Garrett, Rob Sale.
I don't know who makes that decision. Obviously, you know, it's a team decision. I would love to get them to ask maybe like Rob Sale in their presser on Thursday with him, you know, where Joe Judge is always going to be a little on guard and say, you know, that's a team decision. So maybe Rob Sale would kind of give you a little more glimpse into that. I don't know. But here's what I will say. I mean, we were talking about, like, we want Matt Parrott to start before this week. Now, after watching this previous game, there is no excuse to not start Matt Parrott going forward. Like, if Matt Parrott is not starting at right tackle this week, you will see me at Janoris Jenkins cut Daniel Jones playing in the second half of the Arizona game angry level at this team. Like, I very rarely get that angry at the team. And I'm going to be that angry. At the same time, it'll be 20 minutes before the game, so I won't have much time to stew in it. But like, there's no excuse to not start Matt Parrott going forward.
I blame Gettleman the most, to be honest. I really do. That Nate Solder signing is the worst Dave Gettleman move of them all. It is the worst. And you drafted Matt Parrott. Apparently, he's not even good. I understand also coaches make the decision to who starts and who doesn't start. But also, there does come a point where it's like, all right, my job is on the line. Part of this guy's success could be a difference maker. When you're 1-4, that's obviously a different story. But starting Nate Solder and running Nate Solder out there, like, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to be 1-4, but it's also embarrassing every single week to have, oh, even though this guy didn't allow a sack, just look at how pathetic Nate Solder is, and then look at how good this edge rusher did against them. I feel like every single, like, an analyst from another team has made that video every single week. It's, oh, look at how good our edge rusher did against Nate Solder. And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, he's your stat padding tackle. And he was put at left tackle this week, which meant he couldn't get all the help that he had been getting. And he got embarrassed. You know, he gave up more, you know, hits, you know, pressures than Andrew Thomas had all season, like, by a good margin. At left tackle, and again, was getting bullied consistently, and he's given up, you know, a couple sacks this year, even though the Giants O-line as a whole hasn't given up a sack the last 2 games. And here's the other thing, is Matt Parrott looked all right. You know, he didn't look great, but he looked all right, and you could see it's like, okay, those long arms, that natural strength, it shows up with Matt Parrott, where it's like, is this a beautiful rep by Matt Parrott? No, but he wins it, because he's got long arms, and he might mistime his punch. Or it might not be a violent punch, but he's got his arms on you and he wins. Or he might lean on this play, but he's got a nice strong base. You know, he's got good leverage. Whereas with Solder, it's just, you know, I said, you know, we were talking about it going into this game. I was like, why are, I said, defensive ends are the dumbest people on a football field for not bull rushing Nate Solder. And well, Randy Gregory came into this game and just bull rushed Nate Solder and embarrassed him. You can't do that to Matt Parrott. So Matt Parrott may be bad, but he will not be as bad as what Nate Solder is. And you know what? They've put so much effort into protecting Solder. Like, that's what's the most frustrating thing, is that you play Nate Solder over Matt Parrott, the young guy who at least has some potential. Matt Parrott could be good. Nate Solder can't be good anymore. And you're chip blocking and helping. You're giving all this help. He's screwing up the run game on the backside. And you're doing all this. You're putting all this extra effort into a washed up guy who doesn't want to play football, not in football shape. Like, he is washed up. And you're putting all this effort into helping him. Why weren't you just putting that effort into helping Matt Parrott these last 4 weeks? So he has to play and he has to grow. And I'm telling you, he will have bad games. Matt Parrott's going to have bad games this year. And more likely than not, he's not going to be a good right tackle. But he is not as bad as what Nate Solder is. And at least he has the chance to grow. Let him have some growing pains. Andrew Thomas got the benefit of the doubt last year. He got to grow. You know, he's not, you know, like, look at him compared to the end of last year and the end of last year compared to the beginning of last season. Like, offensive tackles get better. Give Matt Parrott a chance to have teams game plan against him instead of this, oh, we put him in for reps. And then finally being forced to play him when Andrew Thomas gets hurt. Like, I don't know if we see Matt Parrott all year if Andrew Thomas doesn't get hurt. Like, I'm not even joking about that. And you know, and you have a track record of last year. Cam Fleming wasn't good and they never played Matt Parrott. You know, they rotate him in for reps. That doesn't do anything. So I didn't want to turn this into this huge rant, but Matt Parrott has to start for the New York Giants at right tackle going forward, and there's no excuse not to be starting.
You know, it's pitiful because you do have that investment in him, and you know, the such bad situation, unfortunate situation that is Nate Solder, but such a bad situation that COVID didn't help it, and you know because of the COVID year and the opt out, Nate Solder's here for another year than he should be. And the fact that the Giants just want to keep making it known that Solder move was the worst move of the Gettleman era by running him out at right tackle every single week and getting embarrassed. For me, I'll feel a lot better about it if at least Matt Parrott turns into something. At least if he contributes for the rest of the year. Because guess what? Matt Parrott doesn't play for the rest of the year. A new general manager comes in and, you know, that could be a draft pick that's wasted because we never saw him play and he never got an opportunity to play. And that
let him show that he's good enough to be a swing tackle.
Or bad. You know? Or bad. Like, let him show that he's bad. Let him just give him the opportunity.
Dave Gettleman said at some point you gotta trust the young guys to play. Well, it's you haven't done it. You haven't. You have neglected playing him for the worst starter on this team.
Yep.
So far. So play Matt Parrott. I will riot.
All right. Or else you'll burn down the stadium again. Vanilla Vic at Shake and Bake with a couple of
that's the same exact question. You are screwing up the mailbag so badly.
Well, I edited it. Well, I was gonna edit that. And then you said first don't read the Vanilla Vic. Oh, that's not even a question that counts. I didn't know that. Okay.
Look at you. Get you are like Nate Solder right now with this mailbag.
Next question. Ron Swanson at Ronnie Swanson 69. What's your starting five offensive linemen right now?
So we can go quick through this. Thomas at left tackle. We're both pair at right tackle. Hernandez stays at right guard. Price, I still got Price at center and Skura at left guard. Skura has, you know, Skura and Wes Martin were like identical this week. Like, it was kind of uncanny how close to those together those guys are. So you could make the case for both of them. But Skura had the better game versus New Orleans. I know it was with Andrew Thomas. So Skura's got the experience. I'm going Skura. And we're playing the Rams this week. And, you know, the famous Wes Martin game was giving up 4 sacks to Aaron Donald and the Rams.
Aaron Donald sometimes lines up over the tackle too, right?
Yeah.
I'm really begging that he lines over. Is it bad that I'm begging that he lines up over Nate Solder? Is that bad?
Nate Solder, oh God, I'm not even like having Nate Solder starting this week in my mind. Like, I'm not accepting it as a possibility.
Well, he's going to. So get prepared to be upset. Aaron Donald, Nate. If the Rams were smart, that's exactly what they would do. That's exactly what they would do. Jeff G at JGreck15. Do you guys think Patrick Graham deserves to be fired/blamed for this horrific defense? or are players simply underperforming compared to last season? And then also Jack Salazzone. After the defensive letdown against Cowboys, do you think Patrick Graham will look to move away from the too high safety look he's been running?
So, let's talk about, like, you know, the blame game with the defense right now, because I think there is enough to go around. I think the number one issue is the edge room right now, Justin. Like,
yes.
I think all roads lead back to the edge room, because I think if the outside linebackers could just be a little better than what they're doing, some of the stuff Patrick Graham's doing right now looks a lot better. But they are, I mean, it's pitiful how bad they are right now. Like, I can't remember the last time the outside linebacker room or our pass rusher room looked this bad. Like, when has it ever looked this bad, Justin? I can't remember a time it's been this bad.
2014, 2015, you know, one of the years when JPP was out, those teams.
Yeah. Kerry well, maybe not. Yeah, maybe not. But it is, they are not getting any type of pressure. And when they blitz, they don't get there quick enough. So I think that is the root of all the problems, and they're also not good in the run. You know, where we thought Lorenzo Carter would at least be good in the run, he really hasn't been. O'Shane Ziminez, he's not good in the run. Azeez Ojulari will make a flash play in the run, but consistently is not good. But going back to Patrick Graham, yeah, he definitely deserves a good amount of blame. You know, he's doing things differently than what he did last season, and I hope I'm not, like, hitting on this all year, because I think, you know, Patrick Graham has shown that he changes. Like, he's changed stuff within this season, you know, getting, like, they're playing a lot more man, especially on third down right now, the Giants are. He is doing this too high safety thing that the rest of the league is doing, and I don't know what the numbers look like after this past week, but going into this past week, they ran it the fifth most in the entire NFL. And what that basically does is pre-snap, it stops you from, like, being like, okay, this is where we're going to take the big play shot, you know, where if you have a single high safety, a team could be like, all right, we got man up, we got one-on-one on the outside, move that safety with your eyes, go the opposite way. Like, it can be a very simple, like, okay, this is how we're going to move. This is how we're going to try and get this big play, or we're going to run flood to this play. And if the safety crashes down, we got to dig on the backside or a crosser or something. With the too high, it stops you, like, you can't really pick and choose your, like, deep shots pre-snap. But what it also does is it takes one less guy out of the box, so the Giants are not playing with an extra guy in the box, which is leaving a gap open in the run game. And it's asking guys to play two gaps. And right now, without Blake Martinez, they can't do that successfully. And that's why teams have ran the ball on them, you know, 170 yards by the Saints, 200-something yards by the Cowboys. And, you know, and it's not like those teams weren't completing a high rate of their passes either. So it's allowing teams to run on them, move down the field. And I get the whole, like, you don't want to give the big play. But you know what? You can do that while bringing the safety down. That's what they prided themselves on last year, was doing that, bringing the safety down. And they stopped big plays, bringing that guy in the box. They always had the plus one boxes, and they were able to stop the big plays last year.
Giants allowed the second lowest average depth of target in the National Football League last year, and this year they've allowed the fifth lowest average depth of target. So they're accomplishing the same goal, except they're doing it a little bit differently, but then teams are finding ways to complete balls over the middle of the field, where you mentioned a high completion rate. The Giants are allowing the highest completion rate in the National Football League right now. Their blitz rate is slightly higher than it was last year. They're 13th in blitz rate with 23.4%. They were 20th in the league last year. But at the end of the day, they're third. They have the third least amount of pressures in the league. They're third least in pressure rate. They were 10th in 2020. So, I mean, that is a drastic, drastic difference. And also, a lot of people like to say that missed tackles have been a problem this year. That actually has not been a problem this year. The Giants have missed the sixth least amount of tackles in the NFL this year. They missed the 10th least in 2020. So all those things that you said are correct, and, you know, they're backed up by the numbers. Where the Giants, in a way, it's so, so strange. Because the Giants' defense last year, they allowed a high completion rate. They're just allowing a little bit more this year. The Giants' defense last year had a low average depth of target. It's just a little bit more this year. The Giants' defense was really good at preventing the explosive play last year. They're doing that again. It's just offenses are finding ways to beat this team in a different way. most likely because they're doing that too high thing versus a guy in the box.
They're running a lot more man coverage too, you know.
But it allows less for rotation pre-snap and confusion, which that's what Patrick Graham is kind of known for, and I think they've gone away from that.
Yeah, and I mean, this past week, Patrick Graham threw a lot of stuff at Dallas. You know, something we talked about is like, you know, like we didn't expect this defense to look good versus Dallas. You know, we talk about Dallas being the toughest test, so I don't want to, like, I don't want to judge the defense, like, just on this Dallas game. Like, it's, I'm talking about, like, the whole year where the first 3 weeks I thought were all right. Week four wasn't horrible, but I didn't think it was good. You know, the Saints ran the ball a ton. But it's like they got turnovers last year doing it their way. And it's just, that's all I'm asking. I'm not even changing, like, asking to change, like, a total, just pay more attention to the run game. It's like, don't stop letting teams gash us in that run game. And, yeah, we're going to have a Jabril Peppers question, who I think that it's could have a big impact on it going forward. But that is my biggest critique of Patrick Graham, because it's like I can't blame him for them not being a pass rush, but I can blame him for the way teams are running on us right now.
The edge room is pitiful. I mean, it's just absolutely pitiful. And, Bobby, I for the first time this year, I looked at the directional rushing stats, and this is going to be a big part of my stats report. The Giants' opponent run rate up the middle is like one of the least in the National Football League, where teams are just not running up the middle on this Giants defense because I think they recognize that the strength of this defense is in their interior defensive line. So what they're doing is they're running outside the tackles like over 20% of the time. Like they are going outside the tackles at over 20% of the time because they know that without Blake, they don't have that side, you know, that sideline to sideline guy that can really lead the way. And they don't have guys that can set the edge very well. So that is a common problem, and the numbers back it up.
No Blake is definitely hurting this team right now.
Yeah.
All right, next question.
Next, this comes from Ty at _DeekTy_burner.
That guy blocked me, by the way, so I blocked him back.
Good. He's a big Snacks fan, so he's obviously not a U fan.
Maybe that's Snacks Burner.
No, it's not. Oh, maybe it is. Can Justin apologize for almost making me think Leonard Williams was worth that money and that Dexter Lawrence was good? No, I will not apologize.
Leonard Williams is, I mean, this is pretty predictable. I mean, he did have a career year last year, you know, and expecting him to live up to that was unrealistic. And the contract, like, he does get, like, he is, free agency is about getting overpaid, and he was, you know, from the trade and everything, like Dave Gettleman kind of put himself in a bad situation where it's like he Leonard Williams had all the negotiating power. But our friend Glock Roach pointed out the other day, and I thought it was a great point, and it's something I didn't think about until he said it. DeForest Buckner, $21 million. He has one sack, one tackle for loss, five QB hits. Chris Jones from the Chiefs.
Yeah.
$20 million a year. Two sacks, three tackles for a loss, four QB hits. Jonathan Allen, $18 million. He's balling this year. He's having himself a year. Three sacks, five tackles for a loss, 12 QB hits.
Well, why is he balling?
Well, he's got Chase Young and Montez Sweat on the outside.
Now, that's not exactly why. Jonathan Allen's having a good year. He's balling out. He's doing well himself. But I think the whole point is
he's really
having edge rushers that aren't dirt doing nothing for you. Not having those guys, it kind of helps. Like, having guys that are somewhat productive help. Now, the thing that confuses me, though, Bobby, is that we had at least the names last year. It was just a constant rotating cast of nobodies outside of the first 3 weeks of the season. So that's what confuses me about all this, though, is that, yeah, we can look at edge presence, but how did the Giants with no edge presence last year? Like, are you going to tell me that Trent Harris and Jabal Sheard were really better than Lorenzo Carter and O'Shane Zimenez this year? Is that really what happened?
Maybe, honestly, though. And then Leonard has a sack and a half, two tackles for a loss, three QB hits. So not great numbers. But when you compare it, it's like okay, yeah. Does he Aaron Donald? No. But is he getting Aaron Donald money? Yes. But so is, like, that's what happens with free agency and the guy with the new deal. You know, if Aaron Donald were to be, you know, his contract were up today, he would not be making the money. He'd be making, you know, $5 million a year more than Leonard Williams. Like that's what free agency is. As long as he's not a bad player. And Leonard Williams isn't a bad player. And you know what? A lot of people who are, Leonard Williams are, there are a lot of the same people who talk about, like, sacks are not predictive. And when Brandon Staley talks about, like, oh, we don't always look at sacks that can be deceiving. We look at pressures and QB hits and stuff like that. That's a lot more predictive a player is. They love praising Brandon Staley when he says that. But when you talk to him about Leonard Williams being consistent his entire career in those numbers, all of a sudden it doesn't mean shit. It's so frustrating that now everyone just hates Leonard Williams because he's not having on pace for 11 and a half sacks. We knew that wasn't going to happen. And he does need to play better at times. But it's like, you still got a lot of season left. Like, I am, this whole Leonard Williams is a bum and a fraud, and he got his money and got fat and lazy is not true. He does make an impact. Like you mentioned before, teams are just running outside. Like, what are you supposed to do about that? Like, what is Leonard Williams supposed to do?
Oh, and also, remember the one of the biggest plays in our win? Again, Leonard Williams making plays when the Giants win football games. It's becoming a common theme. Giants don't win a lot of games, but when they do, Leonard Williams makes game-saving plays. Didn't Leonard Williams literally chase Alvin Kamara down from the other side of the field on a fourth down stop?
Yeah, Leonard Williams is playing good this year. Now, is he playing up to his contract? No. But you know what? Like, he's going to have a two-sack game. He's going to have a three-tackle-for-a-loss game. He's done it consistently through his career. And again, I always bring this up. When the Giants traded for him, so not the last year, when the Giants traded for him for the Jets, since he had entered the league, he was third in tackles for a loss with interior defensive linemen, third in run stops, second in percentage of run stops and tackles for a loss combined, second in QB hits. Like, the only guy he was really behind was Aaron Donald, who, again, is like a top-five defender of all time. So, you know, Dalvin made him. We have a Dalvin question a little later. But it's like, Dalvin didn't really start popping until Leonard Williams showed up. Like, that was a 2019 talking point that I had on this podcast at the end. It's like Dalvin has been unlocked with Leonard Williams coming on. Like, Leonard Williams' stat numbers from 2019 are the outlier. Look at his career. He has put up numbers consistently.
If the Giants drafted Leonard Williams, people would like him a lot more. But it's the fact that we drafted Dalvin. People love guys that we drafted. They do. And it's the fact that we gave up a third and a fifth round pick for Leonard Williams. I get it. We've always agreed trade is bad. Not signing him to the contract extension the first offseason at which you had him is bad. And they made their bed, now they're lying in it, which I think is I've said that phrase probably a million times about this Giants season.
There's bad stuff around Leonard Williams. And again, he could be playing better right now. You know, week two, like, he didn't show up versus Washington. You know, he had a bad game. So I don't want this to turn into like, well, actually, Leonard Williams is just amazing right now. Because he's not playing amazing. He's playing good right now, but he's not playing so amazing.
No.
But it's like, you can't just look at the stat book with this guy. Now, here's where I want to give them a little credence, and I want to hear your opinion on this.
Sure.
What if I were to say to you, okay, sure, but that's a defensive tackle. Why not pay Dalvin what he got from Minnesota and go out and get a guy like Hassan Reddick or, you know, someone else, you know, an edge rusher for like a $10 million a year contract?
I don't know. Just look at what Leonard Williams did last year and then, you know, and compare what Leonard Williams was on pace to do with the Giants in 2019, by the way, because he had an 8-game, beautiful little sample size that would have been half that season. I don't know. And then compare him, that sustainability of even like guys wanted Shaq Barrett. Shaq Barrett had one good year, and rather than that, I don't even know if he's had a year with over 20 QB hits. Leonard Williams has been able to sustain things over time. He has. He was 25% of the team last year in terms of QB hits, sacks, and pressures. Dalvin Tomlinson is a run stuffer, so all those people that have...
I agree, but I would take Shaq Barrett over Leonard Williams. But he was never going to leave Tampa anyways.
I don't think you should just pay for edge rushers in general. I do not want to pay for edge rushers. But Leonard Williams...
I disagree with that.
Leonard Williams has... Well, all right. Well, you would... So Leonard
Floyd...
Well, look
where we're at right now.
Leonard
Floyd.
I would not want
Leonard I didn't say Leonard Floyd. I said Shaq... I would... If you said I could trade Leonard Williams for Shaq Barrett right now, I would take that trade.
Well, with their contracts? I mean, Shaq Barrett, we want to talk about a guy that's getting a lot
of money. If you gave them the exact same contract... You know, Shaq Barrett's been good. You know, I know he got good in Tampa, but he's been good for 2 years, you know, two plus years, you know. But I was going to say with Reddick is the one people point to, though, because he has a cheap contract. If you want to talk about one-year wonder, look at Hassan Reddick's stats versus the rest of his. I mean, You know, he before last year, he had a combined 7.5 sacks, 18 tackles for a loss, 16 QB hits in 3 combined years, which was Leonard Williams was killing him before that, too. So,
but Dalvin does one thing well, and he does it very, very well. Leonard Williams does a lot of other things.
I agree.
Well, you know, maybe he's not. He's definitely as not as good of a run defender as Dalvin Tomlinson. But at the end of the day, it is more important to have an interior pass rusher, in my opinion, than an interior guy that stops the run.
That's talking about just like swapping Dalvin for Leonard. I'm saying, would you swap?
Well, no, a lot of people would Dalvin.
Yeah, and that's our next question is about that. But here's what I would say: if you could now Leonard Floyd got more money, but if you could have got like Dalvin and a Leonard Floyd type pass rusher, would you trade Leonard Williams for that? And the money's the same.
Yeah, we need more edge talent. Like, yes, we.
I mean,
bad. For people's mental health, Bobby, and this is what I've been telling Snacks. Because Snacks has just been, he's been overwhelming, and it's been pissing me off about how much he's saying Leonard Williams is a fraud. And like, I got mad at him, and I said, you need to stop, because I'm actually going to get mad at you. For your mental health, instead of just putting it on Leonard Williams and the contract, and he's getting a lot of money, because in my opinion, you want to know what? That's lazy. It really is lazy. I'm sorry if you feel that way. Put your energy, and for your own mental health, put your energy on the fact that Dave Gettleman hasn't invested one early draft pick, besides Aziz, and that's kind of, you can see how that's kind of working out, right? First and second round on an edge rusher out of all these years, when during his opening press conference, he says that one of the most important things to do in the National Football League is get after the quarterback. Now, I liked how he's gone the reversal of philosophies, and he's prioritized the secondary. I like that, but if you want to get mad at something, get mad that he's picked all these edge guys, he's invested in all these guys, and they are doing nothing. They are doing nothing. They haven't signed an edge rusher, which, again, I'm glad they haven't, but get mad at that. Get mad at that. Don't get mad at Leonard Williams that proved last year that he was almost 30% of our pass rush by himself, one man.
I agree, and that's why the hypothetical is that it's, you know, I hate hypotheticals, so it's not fair to do that because it's not a real-life situation. But, yeah, don't blame Leonard Williams for Dave Gettleman. His only real investment in edge is Aziz Ojulari. No first-round picks, no second-round picks, and even the third-round picks weren't, high-ceiling guys.
Yeah.
You know, Lorenzo Carter and O'Shane Zimenez. You know, I don't think anyone thought those guys were going to turn into anything amazing. Don't blame Leonard Williams for that. All right, next question.
Doe Fresh.
Leonard Williams brings out the best in us, by the
way. Oh, my God. Yeah, we were fighting about him. We're on the same
side. Yeah, we're on the same side, but we're also... all right, next question.
DoeFresh86, aside from missing Blake, do we miss Dalvin more than we realized? I mean, just a quick answer, yes. Played gap responsibility, and he was a good run stopper while eating up blocks to allow Leonard Williams and Dexter Lawrence to rush the passer. That's where I disagree. And would you use some combination of Rudolph, Shelton, Jackson's money to have re-signed Dalvin?
So, the Rudolph, Shelton, it's a long-term deal compared to, you know, shorter-term deals. So, it's only a two-year deal for Dalvin. Here's what I'll say, and we'll narrow it down to this. Dalvin or Adoree? Give me Adoree Jackson 10 times out of 10.
Can you imagine what this defense would look like without Adoree Jackson since James Bradbury isn't playing well?
10 times out of 10. And you guys want – and listen – does the defense miss Dalvin? Yes, but those decisions have to be made in free agency, you know? And I think the Giants made the right decision by letting Dalvin Tomlinson walk. And you know what? Dalvin Tomlinson has 0 tackles for a loss for the Minnesota Vikings through 5 games. And again, like you said before, he's only good at stopping the run. He's not a pass rusher. He's better pass rusher than Danny Shelton. But like he, you know, so is every single person in the league that lines up and puts their hand in the ground.
I'm a better pass rusher than Danny Shelton.
Yeah, I'm a better pass rusher than Danny Shelton. Do I miss having Dalvin here? Absolutely. But am I being like, no, we totally screwed up? And that is not the reason why. Like I said, the not playing the, you know, stack boxes is much more of a reason why and Blake Martinez being out is much more of a reason why the run game has been bad. To Dalvin Tomlinson. I mean, Austin Johnson's played well.
Yes,
Austin Johnson
has
been a good player for the Giants this year. Not Dalvin Tomlinson's level when he was here, but he's been a good player, you know? So the replacement hasn't been good with Austin Johnson. I mean, I know Shelton gets put in there, and Shelton has been flat out bad. But yeah, I'm not being like, wow, what if we had kept Alvin? Like, I'm just not. Like, I don't miss him that much.
Yeah. Dexter Lawrence not playing well has also hurt, too. I mean, that's somebody that we haven't mentioned, too, where Dexter Lawrence was supposed to make that jump, that third-year jump. That, you know, he was a first-round pick. Dalvin Tomlinson was not a first-round pick. And again, Dexter Lawrence is a guy that you would want to prioritize over Dalvin Tomlinson because he does multiple things well in a game that is about throwing the football. The game is not about running the football. So he can be on the field for all three downs, and he has not met that expectation. Really, none of these players on the defense side of the ball have met their expectation where they've had sacks, they've had interceptions in their hands. So yes, I know Bobby talked a lot about Patrick Graham earlier, but if Dexter Lawrence can get in the backfield more, if Leonard Williams can come down with some of those sacks that he had in his hands the first 2 weeks of the season, if Logan Ryan can catch two interceptions that were in his hands, Adoree Jackson, that interception in the back of the end zone, James Bradbury, an interception that he had in his hands against Dallas, if those players can make those plays that you can actually point to, and as somebody like me who's not a big film guy, I can easily point to those plays about its player performance and not just about scheme, they need to make them.
Yeah, there's plenty of blame to go around on this defense. You know, like now, like we said before, the edge is the number one culprit, but there is definitely blame to go around. All right, what's the next question? Because we have been like just bang, bang, bang. Every question just like yelling into these microphones.
I think people like it. I think, you know, for those people that are listening, they need to hear it. We also we've gotten not a lot of hate, but we've gotten some hate, mostly I'm talking about snacks. Snacks
text. I haven't recognized any hate. It's just snacks.
It's because Snacks represents like 10 people in my brain whenever he gives me criticism. He's wanted us to rip Patrick Graham and rip this defense more often than we do. So there you go. We just spent like literally, you know, 25-20 minutes doing it. So now we have a question about.
We're 35 minutes into the mailbag and we haven't mentioned Jason Garrett's name once.
Well, he's the next question, but first, do you want to read the ad?
No. Okay. I'll read the ad when I want to read the ad.
Okay. It's fair. Sorry. Anthony.
You don't get to play my games.
Bordenaro. WALB.
Bordenaro.
Bordenaro, excuse me.
He's the actual weatherman, unlike that fraud, Danny King.
I was about to ask. Anthony does the weather like in Florida. Anthony does like the weather in Florida and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, I think he's up in the Northeast now. But yeah, he's a weatherman.
Cool. Good for you, Anthony. Love you.
He's not a fraud like Danny.
Wow. Should Garrett limit Jones's rushing attempts so he doesn't hurt himself again?
Can we?
How about situationally?
No. Yeah, and you know what we when we got this mailbag like these mailbag questions in the offseason, I said stop running him between the tackles. You know, so I'm not going to blame Jason Garrett for him getting concussed in that play. And we'll talk about that play a little more. We have a Kyle Rudolph question later.
Can we also identify that there's a difference between that play and the two-point conversion play that they ran?
Yes. Stop running those plays. Like, does that play get me fired up? Yes, it absolutely does. But those are the plays that will get Daniel Jones injured.
No, but I think there's a fundamental difference between the Atlanta play that they ran on the two-point conversion and that play, and it's the fact that Jones actually had blockers in front of him, so defenders aren't just running like a bat out of hell right towards him.
Well, I disagree because that play was designed to essentially be a free runner. You know, it was betting on them crashing in and caught. We'll talk about it later, but like it was betting on it being a free runner. You know, it didn't work out that way, but I'm not going to blame Jason Garrett for that. The opposite is that Falcons play is like, that play is designed, like, you're probably going to have to run through someone's face. Like, you're getting contact on this. It's not the same as a read option. So it's like, stop doing those. You know, I know the Cincinnati game wasn't, it was a muscle injury, but that was between the tackles. The Green Bay won his rookie year. That was literally QB power on 4th and 2, and he freaking runs over Zadarius Smith and sprains his ankle, played the rest of the game, but so stop doing those run plays. Where it's like for sure contact, but over just volume wise, no. Like you got to let the kid play.
Yeah, thought he's been smart when he scrambled too. But it's a shame. We'll probably miss it for a few weeks. All right, next question. Alistair Logue, at Alistair Logue, Loge, Logue. I'm really bad with names. It's like Danny King. He's bad with names too. Do we pay Peppers We are struggling.
Actually, another week of the NFL season means another shot to win big at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet just $1 in any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. The last 0-0 tie in the NFL was in 1943, so I'd say this is a no-brainer. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed like, you know, Kyle Rudolph will.
Wow.
Everyone can play for huge cash prizes, like Kyle Rudolph's contract, all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sportsbook Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Like Kyle Rudolph, like you don't really have to do much, but you get millions of dollars.
Mm.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code JOHNBOY. Throw down $1 on any NFL game. So throw down $1 instead of not throwing anyone down after a fight.
Physically throw down a dollar on the ground right now.
And win $100 bet in free bets. If either team scores a point, that's promo code JOHNBOY this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only, minimum $5 deposit, and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And I'm staying. We're staying with it. And we're in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. I don't care if we don't legally have to say that anymore. I'm saying it. I love Indiana.
We may be legally getting in trouble because we said it.
No, we called the number and it worked last time.
I guess that's true. What if DraftKings got really mad at Indiana? What if Indiana said something bad about DraftKings?
No, they probably just changed the number to where it's like, they probably have that new number in Indiana now.
I mean, it
mentions Indiana in the ad.
I don't know. Alistair, do we pay Peppers? We are struggling for cap already, and with this lackluster performance, I don't know how much we can realistically pay him. That's a good question.
Do we give him some huge contract? No, but I think you can get Jabril Peppers on a reasonable deal. You know, safeties aren't getting a ton of money right now. You know, and the ones that do get huge contracts, those teams usually regret it.
Thank Landon Collins. He was like the last guy.
Yeah, and Jamal Adams hasn't got his yet, but it's like, you know, trading for first round picks for him, they're like, why would we do that? So, you know, am I saying give him some huge contract? No, you shouldn't do that. You know. And if they don't plan to re-sign Jabril Peppers, trade him. Now, I would like to bring Peppers back. I'd like to find a way to bring Peppers back. But here's what I will say. This defense is missing Peppers right now and playing Peppers in the role that he's played the two previous seasons. He had 8 tackles for a loss last year with missed time. That's 4th out of all safeties last year. He had 8 tackles for a loss. He had 11 pass deflections. First of all strong safeties. 3rd out of all safeties. That's including free safeties. Like, and he's missed sorely in the run game. Like, he's a really good run defender. And when I talk about bringing that extra guy in the box, I'm talking about Jabril Peppers. He knows how to set an edge better than our outside linebackers right now. He knows how to shoot a gap better than our inside linebackers right now. He knows how to rush the passer better than our outside linebackers.
Yeah, I was
looking
and
I'm fired
that.
Up again and yelling into this freaking microphone again. But Jabril Peppers does a lot of things better than guys that are getting a ton of reps right now. Peppers needs to play. Put him in the box and let him play that. And that's when he's best in coverage, when he's playing zone out of there. Will he get beat in man occasionally? Yes. But you know what? Watch every safety in the NFL when they go up against Kyle Pitts or Noah Fant. You know, like they give up plays. It happens. You know, acting like, you know, Jabril Peppers. I don't watch every safety, but I would be willing to bet he is top 10 in man coverage of strong safeties in the NFL right now. I just don't think people watch strong safeties play man coverage. 2.5 sacks last year. Like, he's a playmaker. Playmaker Peppers. And he was it in 2019, too, with James Betcher. Like, he was the best playmaker on that defense until he got hurt. You know, and then Dalvin, you know, played well in the end of that season. So, they got to play this dude. You know, he had 38 pass rush reps last year. Had 2.5 sacks. 7 pressures. Like, he is a disruptor. Like, you need someone to disrupt plays, make tackles for a loss, or... You disrupt the block, and that allows Leonard Williams or Azeez Ojulari to make a tackle for loss. Jabril Peppers is that guy. And what has Xavier McKinney done? He hasn't done anything. Here's what I would do. I would put Xavier McKinney at the nickel corner because Rodarius Williams is out. They clearly don't want to play Darnay. Put Xavier at that nickel corner spout and put Jabril Peppers as your strong safety and have him playing in the box. And if you want to play too deep here and there, Jabril Peppers has done it, and he's done it all right in his career as well.
Jabril got like 6 pass rush opportunities against the Falcons. He had 2 QB hits, and I'm pretty sure that's still like top 5, top 4 on the team. So
Peppers is a playmaker. Is he a perfect player? No. Is he worth $15 million a year? No. But he's a playmaker, and this team should need to use him. Stop trying to fade. Like, don't fade Jabril Peppers out for Xavier McKinney. Xavier McKinney hasn't proven it yet.
It leads kind of perfectly into the next question, because I think I would know your answer because it may match mine. Chris at ChrisKennedy_25. Other than having an edge rusher who can actually sack the quarterback, do you think a coverage-style linebacker would fit in this defense and limit these middle-of-the-field throws and stick throws, a true coverage, like, would we want a true coverage linebacker? I say no, because that's when I'm passing downs. I love bringing a safety down into the box to play man coverage, to play zone, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't really prioritize having a true coverage linebacker on the team.
Well, and the linebackers are missing Blake Martinez in coverage.
Right. Well, outside of Blake Martinez.
But I'm saying, like, they're missing Blake pretty severely, and it's not just, you know, making tackles in the run game. You know, and I'm not talking about Blake Martinez playing man coverage on a tight end. I'm talking about, like, directing traffic, you know, and when you're running, you know, cover 3 match, like, making that under call in time to get, you know, to play aggressive. Like, they're missing that. Like, Tay Crowder, Reggie Ragland, those guys aren't as aggressive and able, they don't process things as fast as Blake Martinez. Like, people took Blake Martinez a little for granted. They are severely missing him right now.
Yeah. So, next, Jeff Boyd, the Boyd Wonder.
Boyd!
If the season is over for better or for worse, who is on the trade chopping block?
Realistically, not who we want. Ingram has to be, right? Like, there's no way at this point that the Ingram's not. He's an expiring deal.
Yep.
So that's the easy one. Peppers, maybe, right?
Yep.
Even though I hate that. But if they don't, like, and that's what I said before. If they don't plan to re-sign Peppers, trade him, because we're not going to the playoffs this year. You know? So, like, trade guys that you're not going to re-sign. Now, there's not many guys that will be worth anything in a trade. But that. Here's what I want to throw at you. And here's where, because, you know, we'll probably get this question every mailbag until the trade deadline. You know, and every week it'll be Ingram, Peppers, and we'll say Saquon. But, like, saying Saquon doesn't mean anything, because they're not going to trade Saquon.
So. They're not trading Saquon.
Do you think Slayton is realistic, and would you?
I would, yes, but I don't think it's realistic. Darius Slayton right now is last in the National Football League in yards after the catch per reception. And seeing what guys like Galladay have been able to do kind of on their own, seeing what Shep has always been able to make something out of nothing a little bit sometimes, and I know the talent level and especially the draft position between Kadarius Toney and Darius Slayton is significant. You can't get much more different, because Slayton was like totally, you know, he was a day 3 pick and Toney was a day 1 pick, right? Day, you know, night 1 pick. But I don't know, man. Again, Slayton offers some nice things, but at the end of the day, he doesn't offer you much outside of that. You know, he's last in the NFL right now in yards after the catch per reception. And you have to have a qualifying, like, you have to be targeted, I think, at least, like, 13 times. So, it's not just including everybody. It's including guys that have been targeted enough times.
I wouldn't. One, because, I mean, guys are getting hurt, you know? Like, if Darius Slayton plays this week, that's big, because Kenny Galladay is not going to play. You know, and having Darius Slayton on the outside is a lot more valuable than having John Ross out there. You know, Slayton, and we actually have, our next question is honestly a great one, and it's a very tough one. But Slayton is valuable. And, you know, we talked about this last week. We opened the mailbag with, like, what is Slayton's role when everyone's healthy? Well, that's kind of a fake world, because they're never going to all be healthy. And when they do, it's like, okay, we have a good problem. But we can't bank on them all being healthy all the time.
I have one. And I don't think the Giants would do it, but I just want to hear your thoughts on it. Giants have a very good historical track record of drafting defensive tackles and interior defensive linemen. Would you think about Dexter Lawrence? You're cap stricken.
No, because I don't think you would get a huge.
No, I think would get a nice little package for Dexter. And I'm talking about like one pick. I'm not talking about like all these picks, but I think Dexter Lawrence has You know, he has 2 years of good track record. But Dex has
been good the past 2 years. I'm not going to throw him away because of a bad start this
year. Yeah, exactly. That's my point. Where Engram, it's like, you know, I don't know. Slayton, it's like, you know. But I think Dex, if I don't think they would do it. I don't know if I would want to do it, but I just go back to this organization has a very good track record of drafting interior defensive linemen. Where, you know, no matter if they let, you know, ever since they let Barry Cofield walk, there's been another defensive tackle that's kind of come in here and has done well. So
okay, third round pick. Would you trade Dexter Lawrence for a third round pick? I wouldn't.
I'd think about it. Depends what team.
If a second round, I would still think about it.
A second round, I would take it. I would take a second round.
Second round, I would think about it. Third round, I wouldn't think about it. Dex has been a good player, so I don't want to throw him away.
No, I don't either. But I just go back to the whole point of this franchise has done a good job of drafting interior defense alignment.
Yeah, but we're about to have a whole makeover for this franchise. No more in the building hires.
Oh yeah?
Believe it and it will happen.
Yeah. All right, next question.
Our toughest question of the night, by the way.
It's because I think Bobby and I were a little behind on some things. I'm watching a TV show right now that my mother watched. It's called Maid. It's about a maid on Netflix.
Oh, wow. That's
It is deep. It's actually really, really good. I suggest you check it out. NBA champion Brandon Jennings. It's about a girl that she gets like emotionally abused.
Did
and she's
Brandon
broke.
Jennings win an NBA championship?
I have no clue. Wasn't he a Milwaukee Buck? Did they win?
Yeah, beginning of his career, he was. Oh, I think he might have been like showing up to the parade with the Milwaukee Bucks is what it was. Oh. Okay, that's what it was.
See, I know.
Or was it Monte Ellis?
He has
I was
tattoos.
A big Monte Ellis fan.
At Bink Burner. Hey, Mike. Sure. First time listener, long time caller. Do you think the Giants should send Kyle Rudolph and Nate Solder to the Squid Games?
Is this isn't like the question Hunger I was Games? Thinking of, sorry.
No, is that like the Hunger Games? I'm a little behind.
No, it's another TV show that people. The way I had someone like briefly explain it to me on my AMA, and it sounds like the Hunger Games, even though I've never watched the Hunger Games. I just had people explain it to me.
Who would win out of the Giants' worst free agent signings? Jonathan Stewart, Patrick Omame, Nate Solder, Kyle Rudolph. Who would win in like a Hunger Games type duel? I would give the edge to Kyle Rudolph.
Patrick Omame. Yeah.
Why is that? He lives in Jacksonville?
Yeah, that's why. I don't know. Kyle Rudolph, man. Let's talk about that play with the Daniel Jones rollout.
Sure.
Because I posted the clip, and I was like, I generally don't know what's going on. And that was more of like, that was less of a I don't understand, and more of like a what the hell are you doing, Kyle Rudolph type thing. There's like conspiracy theories that like, well, Daniel Jones audibled out of that. Like, there's no way he audibled out to that and the whole team didn't know. Or wasn't alerted, you know. Like the idea that it was just between him and Devontae Booker, like I don't believe that one bit. Like they would have said it in the huddle and they got to the ball, they got to down to the line, like it was a play that they was like, you know, they weren't standing at the line. They were like, all right, get under center, go. So if there was an audible in it, it would have been like a all right, what do we got? River, and you run the bootleg, you know, where everyone would have heard it. And so if Kyle Rudolph doesn't, you know, block like that, then that's on Kyle Rudolph, not Daniel Jones. But, you know, the idea that it was just Daniel Jones rogue, like, you know, Devontae Booker's reaction is of someone who, you know, should have blocked. And you're like, well, the whole right side blocked like it was power. It's like, that's the way you would do it. I mean, that play was just pathetic by Kyle Rudolph, you know, and I am so out on Kyle Rudolph. Like, that guy went from Minnesota where people loved him and they're all super nice in Minnesota to New York, and he is getting, oh man, he is like public enemy number one. And part of it is just he's a bad player, but it's like there's been other things that make you think, like, does this guy like even care? Is he just collecting checks?
I mean, apparently some people that I guess are smarter than us have talked about the injury and the Giants should have never signed him after the injury. Is that the thing that's still holding him back and he just looks slow? I don't know. But that's it's just a bad, no matter what the outcome of, you know, hey, he was signed after the injury, they should have, whatever the case is, whatever happened, it's just a bad look. And I went off on him on that play on Monday's show. So I don't need to repeat myself. It was just pathetic. Like, to not have the instincts to keep that play extended as you watch your quarterback get killed by two defenders is beyond me. So,
yeah, it was pathetic. All right, next question. This was the question I was saying that's really tough.
Two questions left. At Big Dash 07088. At Cole Wiss 88. Rank the wide receivers on the roster right now. Wide receivers 1 through 5.
Who's your one? This is a tough question. Like, you can make an argument for three of these guys.
So who are we including here?
Every wide receiver on the roster.
Except God. Oh, I thought we were saying right now, meaning including injuries.
No, like fully healthy, all those guys. So Sterling Shepard balling, Kadarius Toney this game, Kenny Galladay fully healthy.
Kenny Galladay.
All right. So we both have Galladay as number one. You know, we don't want to go too crazy over the Toney love. I'm putting Toney 2, and I think he's closer to 1 than he is 3.
I'm putting Shep number 2, and I will give you my reasoning.
Give me your reason.
Possession. I like my possession wide receivers with high catch rates. Now, Toney has had a pretty high catch rate, and he has done most of his work between that 0 to 9 range. So this could be a bad take on my end. But right now, I'm talking about right now, when we get to week 10, maybe a different story. But Shepard has that track record in the NFL of being that catch rate possession guy. I like that guy being my number 2, and then my number 3 being Toney, a little bit more of a wild card.
So I'm going to – Toney can change a game. You know, he just had 189 – you know, 195 yards when you add the rushing attempt.
Yeah.
You know, and he had a drop in that game, and he got ejected. He only played like 37 snaps. That's not happening. So I still go Galladay 1, which, by the way, Galladay's not going to play this week. So we are at bare minimum week 7, and we still haven't got to see a Kenny Galladay touchdown, which is what I was looking forward. If there was one play I was looking forward to most this year, it was Kenny Galladay's first touchdown as a New York Giant, and we just have not gotten it, which sucks. Like, I'm very bothered by that. But Toney, like, I'm close to putting Toney 1, you know? Like, Toney's, like, he is an exciting, real-deal player, and he is... You know, I was like, you know, we had the take of, you know, drafting someone different at 20. Ask me now. I know the edge room sucks. Kadarius Toney or one of the edge guys, I'm going Kadarius Toney.
What was your fun talking point about what Jason Garrett did as soon as Toney got kicked out?
Oh, my gosh. This is kind of funny. So, Toney gets ejected. Toney is changing Jason Garrett because, like, he's being forced to use him differently and being used. They started running shtick concepts and curl concepts, which they did very little in the beginning of the game. As soon as Toney gets ejected, they like went completely back to that. And we finally threw an interception on a curl route on the outside with the pick 6 by Mike Leonard. But I thought that was kind of funny that, like, as soon as Toney's ejected, it's like, all right, let's go. We're going curls on the outside with, you know, maybe some seams and we're running stick concepts. I mean, immediately back to that.
Back to the bread and butter. I love it.
Which I'm happy with the way Garrett's called games the past 2 weeks, except for within like the 10-yard line, you know, like except that sprint out to fourth points. Down. It's like, what? Why would, like, come on, man. Why are you cutting 80% of the field off when you already don't have much field and being like, all right, Kadarius Toney, you have to run a perfect route. Mike Lennon, you have to have a perfect throw and it has to have perfect timing on fourth down. Like, that just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and they ran towards the side where Toney was the only wide receiver on the field. I would have rather him rolled out to his left.
Yes.
And where there's so many trips things left.
You could have done there, and they picked, like, maybe the worst decision.
Weren't they on the right hash mark, too?
Yeah, it was unbelievably stupid. And then you go last week, and you see the Ingram reverse and stuff. So it's like, everything, like, before the 10-yard line, I'm okay with. And it's like, once again, the 10, it's just Garrett. I don't know. So, 3... So I got Shep 3. Are you still going Slayton 4 and Ross 5?
Yeah, it's close though.
I don't think it's that close.
I'm kind of out on Slayton.
If Slayton was active on Sunday, he would have had a much bigger impact than John Ross.
Yeah. Yeah. It was bad for me to say I'm out on Slayton. I'm not out on Slayton. I'm just more excited about other people that are here, which is fair. So.
All right, next question.
Last one. Nicholas Nicolas at I am Nick Hearn. Hi, Nick Hearn. I am Justin. Going to my first ever Giants game this Sunday. God bless you. What parking lot do you guys hang out in? So, this is really fun. This is actually a really fun update. Snacks and I are going to our first Giants game together this Sunday, which also means that this will be my last Giants game because I'm getting my tickets taken away from me this Sunday. So we're going to be tailgating the entire time, and we're going to be sitting in the stands together the entire time. So the parking lot in which we will be, because I am going to meet at Snacks' house, and we're going to drive from his house to the game, we're going to be in L. Odds are we're going to be maybe on the curb, so like L16 is where we were for the Falcon game, so, but we will be in parking lot L. So please come by, hang out, say hello. I don't think we'll have a huge tailgate, but we're going to have fun, and, you know, We would love to see you guys, because Snacks and I, for the first time, we're going to be hanging out the entire time. Usually I meet Snacks when I'm like on my way into the stadium, and I usually never sit with them, so this will be my first time going with Snacks, and then also my last time, because like I said, I will get my tickets taken away from me.
Right on. I'm ready to go for this Eagles. I'm ready to get up there for the Eagles game.
Yeah, I'm ready for the season to progress.
Yeah, we're going to be winning. We're going to beat the Eagles.
I'm going to enjoy football. Like that's my big challenge this Sunday is at least it's nice where the weather's still nice and there's no expectations now. I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to watch what I want to watch. You know, I may watch the edge rusher stink. I may watch a little bit more of Xavier McKinney since I haven't gotten the chance to really look at him. And, you know, maybe I'll learn a thing or two about playing, you know, free safety. I'm going to watch Andrew Thomas maybe a little bit more. Hopefully he plays. I'm going to watch what I want to watch. And I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to enjoy football.
Well, hope you enjoyed this episode. We were fired up the entire time. We'll be back on Friday with our preview for the Rams. My 2-0 prediction might come out earlier this year.
Winnable game.
Yeah. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for sticking with us. We'll be back on Friday. Until then, let's go Big Blue.